Like to call the to order the regular meeting of the Unalaska City Council. It's called to order at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, July 25th, 2023. I'd ask Councilman Nicholson to read the mission statement.
To provide a sustainable quality of life through excellent stewardship of government.
Thank you, Councilman Nicholson. Acting City Clerk, please call the roll.
Yes, Mayor. Mr. Bell?
Here.
Ms. Coleman?
Here.
Ms. Luby?
Here.
Mr. Nicholson?
Here.
Mr. Robinson?
Present.
Mr. Tungo?
Here.
Mr. Tudikoff?
Here. Thank you very much. We do have a quorum. The roll call. Please join us as I ask Councilman Robinson to lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance.
Pledge allegiance to the flag and to the Republic of the States, a nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice.
Thank you, Councilman Robinson. Welcome to all of our visitors here in the chambers this evening and those that are on the phone, Zoom. I have a motion and a second to adopt the agenda, please.
Move to adopt the agenda.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Robinson and seconded by Councilman Nicholson. Is there any objection to adopting the agenda? Hearing no objection, the agenda is adopted. May I have a motion and a second to approve the proposed minutes of July 11th meeting?
Move to approve minutes of previous meeting, July 11th, 2023.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Tungle, seconded by Councilman Robinson. Is there any objections to approve the minutes of July 11th, 2023? Hearing no objection, the proposed minutes are approved. Next item is the city manager's report, and I'll turn this over to city manager Bill Homka.
Thank you. Good evening, Mayor and Council. You can see there's a few items on my manager report. I'd just like to point out we received the draft audit from our new audit firm, BDO, and we will be making a presentation on the audit on August 8th, that meeting. As most of you know, we're working on a legislative fly-in, working on the guest list, as well as the arrangements. And you can see there who we have so far. I think there's even been another one since. I think it's a total of about 8 people that we'll be bringing in. And I can get you an update on that. The landfill, interesting enough, that baler was broken for like 2 weeks as they waited for a part. And you can see when they got it fixed, those folks moved. Basically over a month's worth of trash in 5 days. And so I considered that as a nomination. Someone submitted along with another one for Rockstar, and the Rockstar Award I gave to 4 landfill employees out there. And then I also gave the Gold Star Award to Deputy Director Patrick Bliss for the work that he did helping coordinate the Japanese delegation in June. And the folks that received the Rockstar Award were Lilia Williams, Galileo Constantini, Merchant Rafer, and Connor Zuger. I think that's all I've highlighted for that. If you have any questions on anything else on the agenda, feel free to ask. And I'll be happy to answer.
Thank you, City Manager Councilman Robinson.
Yes, on the PCR Comprehensive Master Plan, RFP, so now we're going to have separate departments do RFPs for planning for 10 years out. I asked that question because for years, for 30 years, what we did as a community, we came up with a 10-year plan that the community was involved in, what they wanted to see in the community in 10 years, looking from a 30,000-foot level. Those plans were written out. And that's the direction that the management took to, and each department took to implement And for 30 years, we met nearly every goal in those plans. We failed to get the 2021 out. So we're a little bit behind there, but I'd like to see that picked up instead of doing RFPs for individual departments within the city. It gives an overall picture of what the community really wants, and it gives direction for the management to work towards.
Hey, thank you, Councilman Robinson. Comment, City Manager.
I'm not sure if I should explain that or not. So,
okay, Councilman Luby.
Yeah, I want to just comment on the employee newsletter. I think that's a great way of communication throughout the entire city workforce. So, thanks for that.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Tungo.
with the barges, you said about these old vehicles. Have we looked into barges? Are we looking into barges to haul some of those pilings, old pilings that are getting stuck all over town in Delanto? Is there any kind of?
I'm not aware of in the discussion about the old pilings. I think the goal at this point was to try and deal with all the abandoned vehicles and the junk metal on the island, and take advantage of the opportunity that's presented to us over the next several years with, I think there's 3 or 4 barges from Trident and then 5 or 6 from some dock project, I want to say an ADAC. And I don't know that all their backhaul is programmed at all. So we really wanted to try and start a program to move them off the island while we have these opportunities going. There's a lot of resources on this island, more so than I thought. I'm trying to actually meet I would say a deadline in August, I'm not sure when, that the first barge will show up. But we already have a lot of cars at the landfill, and some that we're trying to take title to as part of the nuisance and abatement program. So we'll have over 200 cars alone that the city needs to get out of here, and then a lot of metal, and working with the trilateral to try and turn it into something that we can do over, like, say, 2 to 3 years, because that way it has its own place. We can fund it with some of this fine money we're getting from, for example, the nuisance abatement program and the recent settlement from the triplex, and put it back into something like that. But I don't think we want it in the landfill or on city property where it's going to interfere with other operations. So we're trying to come up with a backup plan and where to have that.
Are we not getting money from registration?
Yeah, okay.
Hey, thank you, Councilman Tungle. Any further comments on the city manager report? All right, thank you. Next item is the community input announcements. This is time for members of the public to provide information to the council or make announcements of interest to the community. Please come to the podium. Use the microphone. State your name. Hey, Roger.
Hi. Roger Blakely, Parks and Recreation Director. On Saturday, July 29th, from 7 to 8:30, we will be holding the annual mini golf at the library. Children under 8 must be accompanied by an adult, but there is no fee. It's a fun time to be together, and if you haven't been to the library, it's a good time to go. Thank you.
Thank you, Roger.
Good evening, Mayor and City Council. Catherine McGlashan, Unalaska Visitors Bureau. As we approach our fourth month of cruise ships, I wanted to give you some numbers to review. We're halfway through the season with 10 cruise ships visited, and 3 from the Tustamina. Our first cruise ship was canceled due to no dock space, and 1 anchored by Hog Island. Tomorrow we have the Scenic Eclipse, and that will anchor by Hog Island also due to no dock space. We're always delighted that they can make the extra effort to bring in their guests ashore and that UVB can host them for the day. The total number of passengers from the 11 cruise ships has been 2,450. Estimated number from the Costamina has been 510. Total estimated numbers of visitors on our island is about 3,000. Total revenues expected from these vessels is about 126,000. These numbers are entry fees to the Museum of the Aleutians, World War II Visitor Center, the Russian Orthodox Cathedral, Bering Shai Bus Services, and the Unalaska Visitors Bureau. With this being halfway, our halfway mark in the tour season, we're excited to bring in economic growth and educate the visitors that come to our community. I would like to thank all of our volunteers and staff, and on behalf of Unalaska Visitors Bureau Board of Directors, we thank you for your continued support. If you have any questions, I'll be happy to answer them. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Kathy.
Hi, Mr. Mayor, members of the City Council. I just wanted a couple, note a couple quick things. One of them has to do with the reservoir. You can see this is the gates of the reservoir. It's clearly posted that it's a drinking water source protection area with no pets allowed. Next one. And at the actual reservoir, you can see we really go to make that look as unattractive as possible with a luck gate. Notice of video, no swimming. So I just wanted to note that on the 17th of this month, we had a group go out there with a dog and a blow up unicorn pool toy and music, and they had a good time. And I'm going to speak to some parents, but I just wanted to use this opportunity to just raise the awareness that there really is video. It's extremely high resolution. It's also audio enabled, and it makes for some entertaining, probably YouTube worthy stuff, but that's our water source, and we do take it seriously. We do regularly monitor, regularly review the videotape, and we would like people to not climb up on top of the building right past the camera and jump into the water would be my preference. And then a couple of quick notes. I really want to thank my powerhouse team. We had a couple of glitches on the 21st and the 22nd, but prior to that, one of them lasted 1 minute, one of them lasted 3 minutes, and the powerhouse actually stayed running. It was something pushing back from the grid. Before that, 158 days without an outage. So really proud of that. And then the landfill has, I appreciate the consideration for them to get a Rockstar Award. They were very short staffed and they worked really hard. So I want to acknowledge them as well. So thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
Hi, I'm Lynn Crane. I think as most folks know, after a very long and I would say excruciating illness, Campbell McLaughlin passed away on July 12th. And Peggy wanted me to pass along that she and the kids are planning a celebration of life for August 5th, which is a Saturday. I'm not quite sure where that's going to take place, but it will be followed by a potluck that I think is going to take place out at the Dusty and Evie's out in the valley. But Peggy will be back soon, and she will share that information with you. Thank you.
All right. Thank you for that information. Okay, next we've got City Clerk. You have written or people on the Zoom who want to speak?
Yes, Mayor. We have Natalie Kino.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor, Council. This is Natalie Kale calling from the, or speaking from the Unalashka Corporation. And I was there about a week and a half ago, 2 weeks, gave an update regarding the OCCP geothermal project. And at that time I had alerted council that the DOE would be flying to Unalaska. And we have actually firmed up those plans. It'll be Dave Matthews, Bernie Carl, John Ziagos, and myself coming from Anchorage along with five members of DOE. It's Heather Menzie, who's the Managing Investment Officer for LPO, Mark Higgins, Technical and Project Management Division, Chin Chung, Technical and Project Manager Division, Kevin Kitts, who's a geothermal consultant, and Angela Ryan, Environmental Compliance Division. We will all be arriving on Sunday, and then on Monday, we have meetings scheduled, including a meeting with the City of Onalaska, and the discussion will be the PPA, the city participation in the project, current city issues with power, utility upgrades, and then after that, we will be taking a tour of the Unice plant, then taking a helicopter over to the actual site and showing DOE the site itself. Later that same day, we will be meeting over at Trident's facility and taking a tour of their facility and future plans. And then on Wednesday, August 2nd, we will be giving DOE a tour of Onalaska with an overview of the city, museum, high school, church, power plants, boat harbor, fish processors, cold storage, highlights of and history. And I should note there will be a dinner on Tuesday evening at the Grand. However, I need to work out details of that as to who the participants with Bill Homka, city manager. And then I also wanted to give an update about our OC had applied for, it's an ANCSA contaminated lands EPA grant. And if the community remembers, Senator Murkowski had been out in Onalaska, conducted a field hearing, and that resulted in the EPA stepping up, taking the lead on cleanup. And granted, it's only $1 million. However, it's $1 million. We submitted our application, and it's limited to building 551. It's extremely accelerated. We just had a call today with EPA, and they're hoping we're going to be putting out our RFQ tomorrow. Typically, you would have 30 days. They're recommending we only allow 3 weeks for responses and try to get that actual work done this field season. So thank you.
Thank you, Natalie. Any further?
No, yes, sir. That's it.
Okay, thank you. Okay, the next item is the public comment on agenda items. This is a time for members of the public to provide information to the council regarding items on the agenda. They don't want to wait until the item comes up for a regular agenda. To comment later during the regular agenda, you need to sign up with the city clerk, the acting city clerk. Please come to the podium and use the microphone and state your name. 3 minutes.
Hello. So I'm up here to speak to resolution 2023-32. For those who don't know me, my name is Emmett Fitch. I'm the CEO of Optimera Incorporated, founded here in Onalaska. I've been here for 40 years now. It's still getting hard to say that. So, you know, it's to me, it's very important that that we have reliable communications. I was unable to attend the last meeting because I was traveling across the state and repairing connection, bringing connection up for the state of Alaska at all of their critical facilities. So the state, you know, runs the National Guard. We also had a Department of Corrections and Department of Health that we were bringing back online, because they were effectively shut down, and we're all accustomed to unfortunately, how reliant on communications we are. So the connection that this city has, this internet connection, is it directly impacts our first responders, our police department, our fire department. And if there's an emergency, it's incredibly important that the city has a reliable connection. In our bid to provide service to the city, we had included a redundant connection. So that's a connection that has fiber and LEO connection through Starlink. We've been working with Starlink since September of last year to effectively get connectivity here. And there is, if you go out to the valley and look up at our site now, you'll see four new terminals in place that can deliver multiple gigabits per second of capacity to this island. And we saw that as a way to benefit the community with creating a ring topology. It was only exacerbated by the break that happened before anybody even had connectivity. There was a break in this fiber line, and it's going to happen again. It's really common. It happens every day all over the world. And I think it's something that we need to be ready for, and we should be thinking about. Many other communities who have fiber lines are, they have redundancy. They have another fiber line run there. I think that's incredibly important. When we bid on this service, we knew that it was important. We also had in past bids and discussions, we had looked at the capacity that the city really needed, and the average usage through the city was really only about 5 megabits per second. That's not very much considering what the city is paying for. So in our bid, we also included a 400% buffer on top of the dedicated rate that we were delivering so that the when the city needs to use the capacity, they can. None of these things were taken into account in the award. And when the analysis was done. In the last council meeting, the council asked for a third party review of the bids to determine. And what came back was fiber is better than LEO. And that's not really the question. The question is a redundant connection better than a single thread? And I don't think that you need a third party review to come up to the conclusion that two is better than one. So if we're price competitive, in fact, cheaper and providing a redundant connection, how do we lose that? These are questions that we've looked at in this community from other public institutions. And there seems to be a decision that local providers, local companies can't deliver what this community needs. And I think that's something that really needs to be looked at, is why is a local provider not getting contracts when we're clearly the better provider? I think if you when we look at making decisions with tax dollars or federal funds that come into this community, we need to make the best decision we possibly can. And I just wanted to speak to that. And I understand that there are things that are outside of my control, but we're going to keep fighting for the community and ensuring that we're doing our part to bring the best connectivity to this community. So thank you.
Okay, thank you, Emma.
We have a written comment submitted by Mr. Jester Perterman. So I'll go ahead and read that into record. Dear City Council, my name is Jester Perterman. I addressed the council 2 weeks ago, and I regret not being able to do so again in person. But I have a couple points that I would like to state prior to your deliberations. One is with respect to the request for quotes, and one regarding with GCSIT memo. Regarding the request for quotes, I'd like to point out that the RFQ makes no mention of service. Read section 9 of the RFQ. It only states technical qualifications and demonstration of the ability to perform the services. It makes no reference to fiber in the entire section. The only other ranking is on cost. If it had been indicated anywhere that fiber would have absolute deference, it would have materially impacted how our proposal was assembled. You will recall we are offering both fiber and LEO service for reliability of redundancy. It would be replacement of which connection was labeled primary for our service to be fiber. The proposal or quote was therefore ranked on undisclosed metrics, and this is not an acceptable practice in public bids. The GSCIT letter fails to address redundancy. Any IT organization should recognize the importance of reliability. On May 9th, just after we brought up our fiber interconnect with GCI, there was a fault somewhere on the fiber path from Anchorage to Seattle, and the state of Alaska suffered 20% plus packet loss. Customers we had recently migrated to the fiber were brought back online by using the LEO network. And when the fiber was restored, our customers were moved back. The fiber service was not restored to full capacity until May 12th. Our views regarding the importance of redundancy are not hypothetical. They are not technicalities. They are foundational to providing reliable service. Our proposal is based on experience and expertise gained from providing internet service in the Aleutians for over 17 years.
Well, thank you, Assistant City Clerk. Any further comment?
No one made any more comments.
Are you on the Zoom, telephone?
Not on Zoom or telephone, sir.
Okay, thank you. We'll move on to item 10. We're now on the regular agenda. Persons wish to speak on the regular agenda items must sign up with the city clerk. We have a 3-minute time limit. The item for our regular agenda is resolution 2023-32, authorizing the city manager to enter into a 5-year master service agreement with GCI Communication Corporation for dedicated internet services. We have a motion and a second to adopt resolution 2023-32.
Move to adopt resolution 2023-32.
Moved by Councilman Tungle.
Second.
Second by Councilman Bell. I'll turn this over to city manager for further introduction, and we'll have council discussion.
Thank you, Mayor and City Council. Of course, this matter was on our last agenda, and I only recall that I was going to try and get a third party opinion, basically on fiber and LEO. I don't recall, there wasn't a directive. So from my notes, I don't recall having a discussion about redundancy. There seems to be a lot of questions about or interpretations of what the RFP has been versus what it is. So I'm not exactly sure, based on the discussion I'm anticipating tonight, how to proceed. I have a couple of ideas in my head that I'll see after this discussion, how it goes, and what I can do. I've learned, however, that trying to do something for the farther out has caused something that's never happened before. Or you had an opportunity to comment on what's going on behind the city walls. And I don't mind that. I just want us to all speak the same language. And that's really hard when it's tech talk. You know, is the up speed or the down speed and all this other stuff. We don't need it, but we do. I can tell you now it's not working very good. We're the ones that are going to be working with this system. So I want to remind council of that. I mean, the decisions that we're going to go for here today, a lot of times accountability hasn't happened, but it will, regardless of which company we go with. So I hope that it's a good service. And with that, I'll leave it go.
Okay, thank you. Any further questions for the city manager at this time on this update?
Thank you. My opinion, nothing's changed from this meeting to the last meeting. A question I need to have answered is a question that is generated because of what happened up north. What would happen within the city if that fiber line broke and we'd go with GCI that has zero redundancy? And what would happen to the city if that broke? What would happen to our 911 system? What would happen to the cell phone system that GCI provides? I can tell you without having you have an answer, it happened up north. They didn't even have 911 service up there because they put all their eggs in one basket with zero redundancy. And to me, we don't need to do that. We don't need to put our people in that situation when we're spending their money. Redundancy is important, as I said. The second part of it is that weighs really heavily with me is that we hire local. We need to quit shipping the money off of this island. Just too much of that. You know, the more money we ship off this island, the more people we have leave it. It needs to stay home. So I am an absolute no vote on this. If we were to go to a one-year contract, I would recommend going with the local company. It would be a lot cheaper. And it would give them a year to prove the capacity. Because, maybe there's another question. And maybe Jake can answer it. If every single city employee was on a Zoom meeting, between the three proposals that we get, would the capacity that's being provided be enough capacity to carry all 179 employees on Zoom?
Jake, would you like to approach the dais and understand this question?
Yeah, this is Jake Whitaker, City on Alaska Information Systems. Can you repeat the question for me about the Zoom call, about capacity?
So if all provided in the three proposals that were given the city answering the RFP and the capacities that they're willing to deliver and that they're promising to deliver. If all the employees were on a Zoom meeting, would that be a sufficient bandwidth and capacity to be able to handle it?
It would depend. It would depend on, like, so for instance, what we do now to help get more people to be able to use Zoom is we have everyone turn their video off. We recommend that. Quality of video. So for instance, all of our virtual desktops are throttled in terms of the resolution they can use if they do. And so we take precautions to throttle back so that we can use those sorts of services at a large scale on a weaker connection or a lower bandwidth or high latency, those sorts of things. And so it just kind of depends. The bids also offered multiple speeds. And so depending upon which one you pick, it results in what you can and can't do. And so generally, yes, as long as you take the necessary precautions. So, you know, we throttle things like video services for YouTube or, you know, anything else that might require bandwidth. That's why we try to not max our existing bandwidth out by restraining the traffic the best we can. We would continue to do that. Does that help answer your question?
No, it doesn't. The fact is there's only two of these, the two of the proposals that were answered that would meet that capacity to be able to not have to throttle any of the city employees and put into place the practices you have today, because today you have a really poor connection. There's only two of them that would provide that capacity to be able to have all 179 on a Zoom call, which is using the highest bandwidth and capacity that there is. And there wouldn't be a hiccup. But it also, there's only one of them that has redundancy.
There a question or I'm missing or?
Yeah, I asked that question and you answered it with what we're doing currently today. I'm asking for, of the proposals that were given, is the capacity sufficient enough in all of them to be able to meet the capacity used if everybody was on a Zoom call?
Probably, yeah. As long as you take the necessary precautions on the call so that you don't saturate your link, whichever of the three you would have in a hypothetical situation.
I'd have to disagree with you. Thank you. I am an absolute no one on this.
Okay. I think that after about 10 or 12 years of calling for fiber on this island, we get it here. I find it kind of interesting that a councilman sits back and says, we don't want fiber, we want satellite. And I'm trying to figure out why this is the issue. And I don't know. I mean, communities stood together for almost 8 years to get fiber on this island, and it's here. And it's here because this community wanted it to happen. And with the help of our state and federal people, we've got it here. So I want you to continue to think about that. Anyone else? Councilman Luby?
Yeah, so I think maybe some people are missing the point, but one of the companies has offered fiber as well, which does benefit both companies because they're purchasing it from the people that are providing fiber. So don't think that, I guess, we shouldn't be thinking that we're not going with fiber, because in reality you are. We just have two systems working at the same time. And my understanding is with the redundancy, you have both the fiber and you have the LEO satellite working in tandem, is the way it's supposed to work. So that if one of them goes down, we shouldn't even know it, because the other one will pick up the extra, you know, the load. So as customers, we shouldn't even see that one of them went down. But that's just, you know, just kind of a response to, I've heard a few people say that, you know, okay, we've been begging for fiber and now we don't want to go with it. And that, I don't think that's true. I think we do, you know, we do want the fiber. And I think all three companies are offering fiber as well. So, but that's not the, you know, that's not one of the reasons why I'm opposed to the GCI contract right now as proposed. And the main reason I'm opposed to it, you know, it has to do with, so the proposal that went out asked for internet service with a minimum of 30 megabytes, and all three companies actually came back with that. And the lowest bid was actually Fastwire. So, and they're saying fiber. So I'm not quite sure how they ended up at the bottom as well. I just think there's just a couple issues with a few of a few of the things. The other one is the 5-year, where did FastFire and Optimera have the chance to bid on a 5-year plan as well. So with those, I am against it as it is right now. So anyway, thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Newby. Councilman Tungold and Bell.
Yeah, so we're talking about the fiber's been having problem all over. What about if Starlink, what kind of tech support do they have if the satellite goes down? What do we got? What kind of tech support do we get? I heard a lot of people, they were weeks, they got problems with Starlink. So I don't know what, if we're looking at negative before getting the project, I don't think it's a good idea to look at the negative end on it. Everybody's using it all over the world with this fiber, and they're laying it all over under. I mean, accident will happen. It don't matter what. But hopefully not in that server, that now that we waited for so long to get this. And I just want to, you know, if one of those if those satellite crosses, we'll end up in the same situation that if the fiber get run over by or get hooked into something, an anchor or something by some of the boat. So I don't know what kind of tech support you guys know. What kind of tech support?
Please come to the podium.
Yeah. So we've been working with Starlink for, almost a year since September. I've got a list of people that I can call. This is not the what we're providing is not a small terminal on the side of your house. This is a $750,000 investment in the infrastructure just to get it on the ground. And Starlink takes this very seriously. There are they're deploying these all over the world specifically for this type of installation. This is an extremely important, there's fiber projects that are happening all over the state, and they're all single thread, just like we are here. And that's it's a bad situation to be in. It's dangerous. Like Dennis mentioned earlier, 911 was down in Kotzebue. I was just in Kotzebue, and I couldn't call across the street because everybody had moved all of their infrastructure to the cloud. And so who knows what was happening for a month and a half while they couldn't call. We need to have that connection, and that's what Starlink is bringing. We have the ability to bring Starlink into the community in a way to help shore up that shortcoming. And, we have 24-hour tech support with Starlink. Starlink is used by the Department of Defense around the planet because there is resiliency in number, and they happen to have 3,000, by the time their network is done, it'll have 7,000 satellites. But I think something's being lost. We have fiber. We are delivering fiber with this proposal. End of story. What my business partner Jester mentioned in his letter was regarding how we would have approached it if there was going to be a line drawn in the sand. It's like, well, this has to be the number one ticket here. We would have changed our approach. Maybe we could have come in a lot less than we were if we weren't trying to deliver a redundant service. But I think it's an extremely important aspect for this community to be thinking about, to have a redundant service availability. So So we have, you know, to speak to your question, we have the ability to provide the tech support. We have the people to contact both with Starlink and at GCI. We have spent many years building the relationships and the network that it takes to actually deliver that connectivity. And, you know, we want to make sure that the city has access to that. Not only the city as an entity, but the community, and every little bit counts. Does that answer your question, Bob? Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Dungo. Councilman Bell, then Coleman.
Yeah, looking at the scoring matrix, you know, on its surface, you know, I didn't really see anything that concerned me until we started having the discussion last council meeting. And, you know, we started asking questions about the proposals that were received and what each of these three companies was proposing. With what was presented here to council, and let me back up just a sec here. Last time in discussion, from what I was getting is that there were many on this council that wanted to see a little bit more information, and at a very minimum, we probably should have seen the replies back from both Fastwire and Optumera, and not just GCI, which is the only one that's in the packet, so that we, as a council, could see exactly what was being proposed by these companies. When you look at the scoring matrix, other than the scores, you know, right off the bat, price, Optumera is the cheapest. So, you know, why would we score the one company that is the highest price as the one we want to go with? And then as you read in there, you know, GCI has offered higher speeds for a 5-year contract. Was that discussed with the other two that submitted bids on this? If all three of these companies were providing a 5-year contract, would those prices be the same? Would the speeds be the same? Can the other two provide the speed that GCI is claiming? I think it was 90 megabits per second. And then my other concern with this matrix is only using two categories to score with. Just any reduction in score in one item makes a big difference. Using a larger scoring or more categories, I think makes scoring this and comparing the different bids a little more fair. As this is presented, I don't know how I could support this without reworking this to make it more fair for all of the companies that bid. I'll leave it at that. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Bell. Councilman Coleman, then Nicholson.
Thank you. Well, isn't this crazy? It just seems like just the other day it was a hard time, you know, not having a drop call. And now we've got people providing internet at high speed. This is wonderful argument that we get to have. First off, you know, I mean, this is not about a company. I don't thank GCI for, you know, doing the work to bring fiber out here. At Optumera, they've served this community for so long and had the first to bring high speed service out here. And then, you know, tell Alaska, ITC, God bless them. 25, 30 years ago, I told Roger Meeks, oh my God, we're going to get internet. So, I mean, it's everybody's, you know, it takes a village. So I you know, thank all these groups. So, but I'm again, I have to go back to two weeks ago when I first looked at this. I wanted to keep it really simple because it's about the process. It's about transparency. It's about when I look at this matrix, does it make sense to me? And there were some explanations given last time, but I still have the same kind of questions and I still have the same kind of doubts. I mean, even more so, and like I said, based on what is presented here. You look at experience and qualifications. They said, well, it wasn't really experience and qualification. It was about the type of service they're giving you. Well, then I don't understand then why FastWire, you know, was given such a high rating when they don't provide fiber or LEO satellites. So it just doesn't make sense. So if you're not going to give the contract to the lowest the lowest bid, then there needs to be a concrete to me reason why not. And it's not transparent to me here based on what is here. So it is not my job to second guess the city and the process, but I mean city and the decisions, but it is my job to scrutinize this and see that the process is being done and that anybody can see that what is obvious and what is not. And just from looking at this, I can't support this the way it's presented. So I never really got any of my questions from the first two, you know, from the first session, which is why I asked to have it come back for this meeting. And I still really have the same questions. So it comes down to the scoring and why Optumera was not offered the contract, even though they had the lowest bid with the high speed availability that they can give, why they weren't granted this contract. So I would, based on that, I would be opposed to this.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Omi. Councilman Nicholson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. With the scoring as well, that's something that, you know, I just keep going back to, and it just has, you know, Optumera is just LEO satellite, which, you know, now it's come to light that they have the redundancy that nobody else is providing. And this is something that I am for locally owned businesses in the community and stuff to, you know, get contracts and, you know, be able to survive in the economy that we're in. So at this time of stuff, I would be opposed to what is we're doing right now. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Nicholson. Appears to me we don't have enough votes to move this resolution. Recommend that the council look at giving some direction to the city manager after we call to the vote to review the matrix system with the council and utilizing the we had our IT staff. They've done a great job. Last meeting, Councilman Robinson felt that they didn't do a good enough job. I don't agree. I think that they did a good job in getting to where we are today with these numbers. And the whole concern I'm hearing is, why not local, number one? Why not the lowest bid? Who owns the fiber? Is it GCI? You'd have to buy it from portions of it to operate, just like any other company, I suppose, like telephone company. So those are some of the questions and numbers I want to see what that is for me. See why we're at the numbers that were delivered based on their bids. So that's my concern. I think that's to be the first way to look at this. The council is struck by a couple of issues, and that's number one, we need to have a local company. It's coming from Mr. Robinson. The other one was, we want to look at the matrix. How did these numbers come up like this? We hired the city manager and our IT people to make this information available to us. Now we're questioning it. Well, at this point, I don't know why, but I think we have to go back and in order to make people feel better at the council and creating concerns in the community that we are. We need to resolve this, and I think that can only be done in a work session with having available questions specific to what was presented to the council on July 11th, the matrix scoring system. That seemed to be one of the biggest issues for me, and that's where I have recommendations, and where we go from here is up to the council. Have any more discussion? Councilman Robinson?
If we can go back to the slide that you had, that one. And that is exactly why. That is exactly why. What was misrepresented was not putting in the fact that Optumera is providing not only fiber, but redundancy with satellite. That was in the proposal. That is the price there. $166,716 is the low bid, obviously, and it's providing a redundant service, and it is using fiber that GCI owns. They're actually selling the bandwidth on the fiber cheaper than GCI is. And they're also providing a redundant connection. That's $60,000 more. And I can't make, the matrix doesn't make any difference to me. It's the misrepresentation that Optumera was only providing LEO satellite service. It says it right there on the blue in the middle. LEO satellite service is less preferable than that is a misrepresentation. That is not the truth. That is the biggest problem that I have with what was presented by management to the council. We have an obligation to spend the city's money, the people's money, in the best possible way we can and protect them the most. And I don't feel that the GCI one is doing it. Again, I'm thankful that fiber is here. It's very obviously it's going to be used, but do we pay a premium for it when we could pay less? That's not very good business. Thanks. And I would recommend reevaluating this and going with the low bid period for a year contract.
Thank you, Councilman Robinson. Anyone else? Council? The comment you made regarding the use of misrepresentation, I don't believe it there. I think I've heard from our IT guy earlier, last meeting and this meeting, both were that this is all based on fiber, not LEO.
Yeah, if I can interject. And the one thing we did bring in is the GCSIT letter. And we can all disagree over what's better, what's not. I can only go by what I get from some other professionals, and it clearly says that. The other thing is, regardless of what we're going to do, a few things will change. This happened at my transition. So you mentioned, for example, the RFP process. That's a whole new process because it wasn't doing very well. That's why we're doing that. And I would like to make sure we stick to questions that are, germane, and some of the bids need to do that too. For example, you can't just throw in extra stuff in a bid. You can't. We had that happen in one of our bids at the clinic. It was a great bid by a local company. It got rejected for that. The feds don't like that kind of stuff. So we kind of tend to use the same rules. You can't say, I'll do this and I'll buy you a bunch of dinners and things, because the next one that goes out will ask for redundancy so that they can all speak to redundancy, not just one company. Some of the language I'm hearing here is inaccurate, and I'm not going to go into it. It's not my job to get an argument with you about all this. It's to try and manage the city. But I don't care
for the comments about the staff. And some of the ways it comes off, it's just really personal against people here or companies here. And that is just as big a distraction as trying to figure out a scoring matrix to me. What's going on? So I'd like to try and back the discussion down to a professional level. We have applicants listening who call me the next day. Well, are you kidding me? So I would appreciate the opportunity to continue to do well. Don't make the job harder. I'm happy to look at this again. But we don't need to go down the road too far to make our point, because it's just not professional, some of the things that are sitting here.
Okay, thank you. No further questions, though. What's that? Explain? Oh, yeah, keep it short. I'm not here to argue.
No, I'm not here to argue either. But we had tonight, we had the CEO of Optumera tell us that in their bid, and we have the bids, we have each answer to the RFPs in, you know, that have been emailed to us. We have those. It's very clear that Optumera, through the testimony of the CEO, is offering both fiber and LEO satellite, both.
I understand that. Which is primary, Emmett? Are you willing to switch that and make fiber primary? That's going to be one of the questions. This is what we're kind of getting down into now, which I really don't recommend, but I can play.
So to speak to the difference between primary and secondary, I think it's a term in redundancy that is often used to simplify things, because like you said, this is extremely technical. With this type of service, the best thing to do is to not have one or the other, but have them operating in tandem. That's actually why we can deliver the higher capacities, is because we're actually running both at the same time, not one, and then if it goes down, we're going to switch over. They're actually delivering at the same time. And what we would want to do is work with the IT department here to ensure that, you know, if there is an application, if there is something that they're like, this got to go out, you know, we want it to be right here. We work with, that's what we do with all of the enterprises and private entities in this community that have chosen us today. We work with them to make the best possible service for them. So it's not primary and secondary. We are trying to, you know, in the bid, we were trying to separate ourselves in just like you would do in any competitive environment, to say we're not different. We got this too, but we also got this. Nobody else was selling that. Nobody else was saying that. And I hear what you're saying about not including, you know, not having all these extra things added to a bid. But that's a common practice in any bid process, is to add additional things. And if that's not something that the city wants, then that should just be removed. It's like you fill in these boxes. Here's the spreadsheet to fill it out. Otherwise, but the reason you don't do that is to leave it open so that you can understand what's out there. What you're doing is you're not asking just for a bid, you're asking for advertisement. What can we get from you that isn't just out there for the general public? And these are things that are kept pretty tight, and it's very competitive market, which is why we do what we do and why we offered what we offered. Does that address your question there?
I don't have a question. I just had to respond to some statements that were made on it. I just wanted to know about the first and the second, which you did answer that part.
Thank you.
Good, thanks. Councilman Bell.
Yeah, if I can just comment here and maybe add a little bit to this. It's what is presented here in the scoring matrix. What is presented here clearly shows Optumera as the lowest price for the fastest speed. I have no issue with the job that staff did. I think you guys did a good job with what you had. What I'm saying here is the tool that you used, which was the scoring matrix, wasn't a good matrix to give all three companies a fair shake on this. And I think that's where some work needs to be done. You know, as council, we shouldn't be up here deciding which provider you're gonna use. We should be at least overseeing and making sure that the process is fair and equitable and uses the public funds in the best manner. So thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Appreciate the comment there. Uncle?
Yeah, on your matrix, you always use the same matrix that pretty much use the same matrix when you do a RFP or it depends on the project, right?
Correct.
But you go with the head of the department and work with the matrix on how it's going to be done, right?
Correct. So, for example, the RFP that was brought up, which that money was planned for 2 years ago in CMMP. It went out kind of like our normal thing, 40% for experience, 40% for something else, and 20% for what you give us. And I expect people that come to us have that experience. I mean, don't give it 40%, give it 20. That's where we have to realign some of our matrix. I disagree that matrix needs work. And put more into like what we're hearing in this discussion tonight, what design, what are we getting? That's been left out of public matrices forever, in my opinion. And we have been trying, and through the RFP for PCR, we redid that and like didn't give all the points away for experience. Because most people have that. And what are you gonna do with someone with 22 years experience, more valuable than someone with 19? It's just a quirky little thing. I'd rather redistribute the points if we want to give a little preference, that preference will work well. But then also experience with previous contracts comes in play if you're going to go that way. So there's a lot of work that can be done, and I started that. This one's been out. I understand the interest in it. I just want to make sure when we're talking that we're all saying the same thing. You know, I hear the same thing. They're in different orders. What was the RFP? So it needs work. We will wait and we'll do it better and we'll bring it back. I mean, I commit to that. And I don't think I have ever been someone who wouldn't do that. So do well on this, but I don't think it's anything to get all, you know, have an argument on council dais about.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Tungle. Councilman Coleman, then Councilman Nicholson.
Thank you. Just a quick question. Other departments, when they send out and RFPs, have there been given designation for local preference if that, you know, somebody local is bidding? I know probably maybe public utilities and public works here, is more about, you know, contractors and things that are local here. Is any of that ever written into the RFQs?
I've seen it in other places. I haven't seen enough here that have come across my desk, we've done that. Or a lot, the ones I was involved with are for the auditing firms. Now there's no real big auditing firms on island, so I haven't seen that. But I think we certainly want to entertain local. We got to be careful what is local. I mean, all these companies employ people here. I don't know where the bank accounts are. You know, so what is local? I'm going to start getting into that. You know, someone started here in some year, but I want to be careful about that because it's going to be one more tripwire. The more things you have, the more you better explain it. And so it's not a quick thing to kind of do.
Thank you. Councilman Coleman, Councilman Luby, Nicholson, no comment. Pretty much exasperated this subject, so I'm going to call for a roll call on the motion that was made to adopt Resolution 2023-32. Moved by Tungo, seconded by Councilman Bell. Have a roll call, please.
Certainly, Mayor. Ms. Coleman?
No.
Mr. Bell?
No.
Mr. Nicholson?
No.
Mr. Robinson?
No.
Mr. Tungle?
No.
Ms. Luby?
No.
A roll call vote of zero yeas and six nays. The resolution fails. At this point, we'll move on to the next resolution, and I'm expecting to get a council directive after this next ordinance reading. Okay, the next item is ordinance 2023-08, an ordinance of the City of Unalaska Council amending the Unalaska Code of Ordinance, sections 3.56, executives to allow the city managers to negotiate the amount of personal leave for new executive level employees. We have a motion and a second to introduce the ordinance 2023-08, scheduled for public hearing and second reading on August 8th.
I'll make a motion to adopt ordinance 2023-08.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Luby, seconded by Councilman Nicholson. I'll turn this over to the city manager to introduce.
Thank you, Mayor and council members. This matter comes to you as I've been working with HR and several staff and trying to recruit people. And I think in my, where did I not say that? In my manager report, that we're nearly in discussions with candidates to fill all the remaining director positions. The external one, people are coming here that are interested. If you're looking for 20 years experience or something, and there's an executive section in title. So we already keep executives separate by title, and the city manager is able to negotiate salary, moving allowance, sign-on bonus, but the one line refers it back to for leave, to the regular leave policy. I wanted to get this on the agenda tonight. I expect full discussion about it. I don't feel it's been fleshed out. However, I do have a candidate, and I committed to get it on here for discussion because they're listening and they want to hear kind of what the tenor is. It's hard when you want to get someone from 20 years or more to come here, but we're going to treat them with, you know, beginner level personal leave. And it's difficult. I think in most public positions, it differs by state. It does make it hard to leave, you know, if you're looking to move or take another position. People are becoming more conscious of their time than they are salary. And so it is an issue that I'd like to be able to negotiate. I don't have a solid answer for how, like what matrix that would be. You know, if they have 20 years, I'm only going to go up to, you know, an extra 3 weeks or something. And I expect some dialogue from all of you, and we'll put some additional analysis from this week to the next meeting. And certainly so that's not abused. I mean, I already, Title III requires me to inform you of new director hires, what benefits we've given, what incentives and what their pay is. So I can see that being added to that. What I wouldn't want is to just have, I mean, most of the other incentives, you know, it would be odd if we didn't offer. But to negotiate leave, you know, you do want to make sure that it's applied uniformly. What, how did we give someone with 20 years an extra week and someone else with 19 years, 3 weeks? You know, that's not what you want to do. So there has to be a little more, if we're going to consider this, a little more structure to it. And I'd be looking to you for some input on that at the next meeting.
Okay, thank you. Any discussion, comments from council? Councilman Bell and Tungle.
I'm not sure where to go with this because on its surface, I don't agree with it. If you're going to bring someone in and you're going to negotiate a greater amount of leave, in my mind, the person that's already been here for 20 years, 30 years, I mean, there's people out here in the auditorium that
have been here with the city for a long time. And to bring someone in and get them up to that level, even though they have, they're new, it just doesn't sound fair to me. I may not be able to articulate it real well why, but the, you know, the second grader in me says that's not fair. And I can leave it at that. The other issue I guess I have with that is it goes down the road, and we've already been here, is that, and it's the nature of the hiring, you know, the labor pool or labor and how people are being hired, is that when we constantly keep going after this next person and giving them more and more and more, the people that have already been working for the city for a long period of time get way behind what these new people are getting. And at some point, we're going to have to level the playing field. We've seen it through a couple of the contracts now, and the discussion with Title III. You know, there are many employees within the city that would be better off quitting their job and trying to get rehired and negotiate a better wage than a raise they can get right now, because we keep hiring in at this much higher level, which is either a problem with the market or it's a problem with the pay scale that we have throughout the city. And if we're going to change something like this, and this is at this point is not a recurring problem, this is for one person, which is the other reason why I don't like changing ordinances. There needs to be a bigger picture of where we're going with this.
Thank you, Councilman Bell. Councilman Tungle?
Yeah, yeah. I kind of tend to agree with Councilman Bell. So if we started the same way as the people that have been here long, what kind of, how do we give them their accumulation after a year or so? What kind of accumulation they going to have addition to what you give them? And I mean, it's something you're going to create a,
right.
I think it's...
That's what I said I have to bring back for you.
Yeah, and I think that's why those signing bonuses are pretty much we put in place to bring and attract more of this higher position that we have. And I think you got a draft that we can look, maybe we can see and before we even, you know, discuss any further on it. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Tungle, Councilman Booby, then woman. One of you. We'll wave at the same time.
Thank you. Yeah, my knee jerk on this was like, no, how's that fair? Part of the accrual on your leave is because you're putting in the time here. If somebody at the age of whatever in 40 years of experience wants to change and come out here, then that's great, but they get to start where everybody else got to start. It just, what about people who left and then come back and work for us again? They lose all that, they get to start from ground zero. It doesn't, you just got through hiring three executive level positions without this incentive. I don't see the need to go there. There are other avenues that are given in ordinance for you to have leeway to help sweeten the pot. But I really, again, I'm kind of on the same tenure with what's going on. Is like it doesn't seem fair to me. It doesn't seem that would be to everybody else in the city who had to go through these. I mean, then what do you do for executives that you know, been here for so long? Do they get everything bumped up too? Because, you know, it's like when you look at wages and everything, keep it on a, you know, center playing field. So that's my initial. I think we I know you read this into motion that we were going to have a second reading, correct? Okay, it wasn't read in that way. So I'll support it to go to the second reading, but right now I am not in support of this. That's kind of where I'm at right now.
Okay, thank you. Councilman Luby, yeah, move to the second reading.
Okay, so this is a hard one because I went down this road, actually, and I was in the same thought process as what you're saying here. And, you know, it looked like a really good idea. It was a way to recruit people. Recruiting employees is one of the toughest things right now. There's just nobody wanting to work. There's, you know, people with skill is really hard to get people to move. And, you know, it has changed. And I don't disagree that maybe something needs to, you know, change in our recruiting process. Maybe, you know, maybe it's not on the financial side. Maybe we lower our standards and, you know, experience goes for a lot. I know a lot of other companies, it's actually stopped me from getting certain jobs because of the number of degrees that I have, you know, and so I've always kind of thought that was not necessarily a good policy, but, you know, if you can have it through experience. So there's other ways to look at it for recruiting, I know. And, you know, in just my experience, the trouble that when I went through this, I tried to put everybody on an even playing field by saying to my staff that if you have 20 years experience, whether it's here or somewhere else, that, you know, you should be paid the same as, you know, somebody that's been here, right? Because I was bringing people in from outside. And it didn't work. The whole staff was in an uproar. I've been here longer. What I ended up doing is happened to bring everybody else up to them. So it didn't work for me. So, you know, I feel like there, you know, there is issues with it. So I think we need to look at it a little differently. And I would be all up for a work session on it or whatever else you want to, however else you want to approach it. But thanks.
Thank you, Councilman Newby. Councilman Robinson.
Yes, thank you. My first reaction is no. And some of the things that I forgot about that Councilman Tungle brought up is we did put that in signing bonus in, and it's a pretty healthy signing bonus that would negate the need to have this. I'm willing to take it to the second reading, but you're going to have to sell it to me at this point. Right now, I don't think I can support it past the second reading. So, thank you.
Thank you, Councilman Robinson. Councilman Nicholson.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Yes, I'm a firm believer in, you know, you accumulate your vacation time through the time frame that you've been established working at an employer. So I'd like to just see what happens in the second reading. Thank you.
Good. Thank you. Councilman Bell.
Yeah, I am kind of along the same lines as, you know, if we can come back with something that is a little more palatable or maybe even go down a different direction. You know, the benefits that the city does offer, the signing bonus, we have excellent health care, which is not cheap. And that alone is got a large value to it, a pension. And this is a good leave accrual program. It's just an earned program or an earned benefit. So, I will vote yes to bring it to a second reading. But as presented, I probably will vote no on the second reading. Thank you.
Okay, thank you, Councilman Bell. For a comment? All right. Let's see. City Clerk, has anyone signed up to provide public comment?
No, sir. No one signed up.
I'll restate the motion. Ordinance 2023-08, ordinance for the City of Unalaska Council, City Council amending the Unalaska Code of Ordinance 3.56, executives to allow city manager to negotiate amount of personal leave for new executive level employees. And the motion is to move it on to the second reading. August 8th, 2023. Have a roll call, please.
Certainly, Mayor. Nicholson?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Ms. Goldman?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
On a roll call vote of 6 yeses and 0 nays. With that vote, the council has passed the ordinance 2023-08 and schedule it for public hearing and second reading on August 8, 2023. Next item is the council directives to the city manager. Councilman Robinson.
It is probably a procedural question. And the first initial round of this award, a bid to award. The legal question would be for me as to whether or not we have to go back out for with another RFP, or can we reevaluate the three proposals that were given on their face value to provide the best and safest, the safest and best service to the city. So I guess that question would, I need to have answered before I can, I have a written out directive to the manager, but does this mean that we can reevaluate those, or do we have to go out with another RFP? That's the question that needs to be answered.
Manager, I believe we went through this one before. We had to go back out on an RFP. The reason I say that is we have three separate companies that applied, and I've only heard from two of them through this process. And so I think, talk about being fair and equitable, and also good use of city money. I would highly recommend the city manager talk to the council and get back to us tomorrow with that direction. But it doesn't stop you from coming forward with the directive to open up an RFP, do the same if they do reply or not.
So, given that, I'll make a motion to direct the city manager to evaluate all proposals on their face value to provide the safest and best internet service to the city of the three proposals. And that's going to be contingent upon the attorney's ruling whether we need to go out back out with RFP or not, or can we take these on their value.
Second.
Moved by Councilman Robinson, second by Councilman Bell. And we had a question. Councilman Coleman.
So I'll support the directive, but the question was, we came across this when we had the airport, bidding for that got rejected, but council did. I don't think it went back out. I think it was reevaluated and brought back to council on that. So, I mean, just if you remember that process, I mean, Peggy's not here. She would remember that better than
I remember.
So that was pretty, yes.
I'll speak with council, legal council, in the morning, and then I'll find out what course they recommend, and I'll inform you, hopefully, with an answer back from them tomorrow. I'll let you know right away.
That should work. Councilman Robinson.
So speaking to my motion, the safest and best internet service. To me, the safest means having a redundant service that if the fiber breaks, then you would still have service. You would still have 911 services and not be hung out like a good number of communities up north had. So redundancy is important. It's extremely important that we don't ever go down totally. So that is why I put the safest in there. We're protecting the public.
Okay, thanks. They have a roll call on the Councilman Bell.
Yeah, if I could just make a quick comment, because my comments were more along the lines of the process and the matrix that was used. I mean, we can expand upon what staff can expand upon what the directives put forward by Vice Mayor Robinson. But I my goal is to see is some kind of evaluation. All the information's already been put to the brought to the city. Is having a matrix that goes forward that is transparent in its equity and evaluation of the information that we receive. So, thank you. I'll support this.
I also wanted to thank you, Bill, for bringing this forward, and you know, and I appreciate that you did put out, you know, the RFP when it hasn't been happening before. I do appreciate that.
Okay, Councilman Ruby.
Yeah, and I'm actually along the same lines as Councilman Bell. With I'd like to, you know, the one of the things I had spoke to last time as well at the last meeting was about how it was scored and the numbers. I'd like to see that a little more on how you do that. So thank you.
Okay. Done. All right. So I'll call for a roll call vote on directive, please.
Mr. Robinson?
Yes.
Mr. Tungle?
Yes.
Ms. Coleman?
Yes.
Ms. Luby?
Yes.
Mr. Bell?
Yes.
Mr. Nicholson?
Yes.
On a roll call vote of 6-0 in favor of the directive. That directive give the wording, Councilman Robinson, to the clerk, please.
Yes, I should.
Okay, thanks. The kind of community input and announcements. This final opportunity to provide information to the council or make announcements. Anyone in the chambers?
I just wanted to inform the public that our local general election will be on Tuesday, October 3rd. The candidacy period is open now from July 20th until August 21st. The seats on the ballots are all 3-year term except school board seat C, which is on the ballot due to a vacancy. So we have council seat B presently held by Thomas Bell, council seat E presently held by Dennis Robinson, school board seat B presently held by Jolene Longo, school board seat E presently held by Danielle Williams, school board seat C vacancy created by the resignation of Bob Cummings. This one is to fill the remainder of the term expiring October 2025. For qualifications, council, they need to be a qualified voter in the city who has resided in the city for a year. And for school board candidates, they need to be qualified voter in the city who has resided in the city for at least 30 days. Voter registration deadline is on September 2, 2023.
Okay, thank you. Any further announcements? Council, chambers? All right, well, thank you very much. Having completed our items on the agenda, we are adjourned at 7:35 p.m. Thank you very much. Good night, Unalaska.